A national treasury has recently published amendments to Regulation 28 for public comment. The previous documents that were guiding investments of pension funds into infrastructure assets were seen as too restrictive. And now Treasury has tried to come to the party by loosening some of those restrictions in terms of firstly widening the definition of what is infrastructure, also widening the areas in which pension funds could invest in infrastructure projects to beyond South African borders, and also making reporting around infrastructure investments a little less cumbersome. But we do have Vuyo Ntoyi, a co-managing director of African Infrastructure Investment Managers, to speak further on the issue for us. Vuyo, thanks so much for your time. I wonder if you would have seen the latest iteration of the regulations around Regulation 28 that were issued yesterday, and if you have an opinion of the latest changes.
Good afternoon, Sisi. Pleasure to be on the show. Yeah, we've certainly had a look at the amended regulations or the latest proposals, and we think it's a very big improvement on what was last provided some months ago.
Mm. And what were your previous issues with, or what were your issues with the previous framework?
I think the previous framework was quite restrictive in terms of limiting what qualified as infrastructure projects that were part of the National Infrastructure Plan. Further to that, in addition to that narrowing of the definition, there was also the inclusion of, for instance, bonds that the government guaranteed that related to SOEs, for instance, which we felt didn't really expand the infrastructure space for investors.
And the new amendments are fairly new, and I wonder if you have an opinion of in which other areas it could be improved to maybe facilitate pension funds putting their money in the infrastructure space at a faster rate.
Yeah, I think it comes down to whether listed entities, for instance, need investors to be encouraged to invest further in them, for instance, listed telcos. So as the regulation or draft regulations currently stand, the likes of Telkom and MTN, for instance, would still fall under the infrastructure definition. And I think if there was an encouragement for kind of unlisted infrastructure investments, which is where, you know, the spade sort of hits the ground in terms of the development of new infrastructure, that would be more meaningful. But I mean, it isn't much of an improvement over the last version of the document.
Mm. But just help us understand the history here in terms of why we essentially now need a more favorable regulation to encourage more infrastructure investments by pension funds. Historically, what has held or kept this money back from entering the space?
I think historically, infrastructure hasn't been clearly defined as a kind of separate class of investment. So what's happened is it's been subsumed by private equity, listed investments, etc. So while this new regulation doesn't necessarily demarcate infrastructure as a specific asset class, the fact that it provides quite a wide cap on what can be invested in infrastructure certainly brings infrastructure to the fore for pension fund trustees. And I think the good news is that government has opted to leave the decision in the hands of pension fund trustees, rather than creating sort of a minimum forced investment for pension funds, which we think is the best way to deal with infrastructure investment. More an encouragement than a mandate.
Than a prescription. So you're dealing with people's retirement money here, retirement savings, and the industry's mandate is to do the best that it can to help them grow wealth over the years. So just talk to us about the opportunities then that you see in the infrastructure space. I mean, we've heard quite a number of deals being put on the table to chart our recovery from COVID-19 here in South Africa. We've heard a lot of talk around the Free Africa trade deal, for instance, in the rest of the continent and some of the infrastructure projects that may be laid on the table there. But talk to us about the opportunity in so much as it could be a win-win and a good deal for pensioners. Money.
Yeah, we think that the win-win arises from the fact that infrastructure investments provide a non-correlated and resilient return for investors. So as was seen during the lockdowns, for instance, many of the assets that the funds we are invested in, for instance, were invested in, were quite resilient. They kept performing and, in fact, did well under the circumstances. I think the win-win also comes from the fact that building economic infrastructure that creates trade linkages, that provides services to poorer, downtrodden communities who suffered under the recent lockdowns, the pandemic, and the economic ravages that have followed. This is a way of investing in an asset class that will almost accelerate the recovery and provide jobs that were previously not available.
Mm. If everything goes right, I just wanted to say, because we have seen cases whereby big infrastructure projects are marred with big delays that prevent them from realizing their initial and projected returns. And given that you're dealing with people's retirement savings here, I would imagine that the industry would have to step up quite a bit in ensuring that this risk component is adequately managed.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about, Fifi, is really the pipeline of new projects, which has previously been lacking. But there's lots of momentum through the government's newly formed infrastructure fund, which intends to accelerate the development of projects as well as crowd in additional funding from pension funds in the private sector. And we're seeing strong headwinds in this regard. Just last week, the announcement of winners under the recent REAP process just shows the amount of potential investment out there in the energy transition. And that's obviously good news given some of the news we're getting out of the recent COP26 meeting, where energy transition is a big global theme. And we believe that institutional retirement funds are in a good position to drive some of that agenda.
Exactly, especially as there's quite a big hole to plug in terms of financing that agenda to the full. But Vuyo, I will leave it there. Thanks so much for your time. So Vuyo Ndoye, who is the co-managing director at AIIM for Old Mutual Alternatives.